turn with me to the book of Exodus. You ought to be able to find that. Genesis, Exodus. Go to chapter 33, this verse of this area of Scripture, and in the chapters, really, we are given the account of several different things. We are given the early days of the wilderness journey of God's people as they are on their way to the land of Canaan. And then God had given Moses the law on Mount Sinai, and you know the story. And then it is followed by the next several chapters that are describing the tabernacle. And then it's describing the holy place. And then the furnishings of the tabernacle. And all of these various details having to do with the house of God and the tabernacle. And in chapter number 23, we are given the account as Moses is coming down from the mount. Don't you know it? The golden calf. As Moses was coming down from the mount, he encountered that golden calf, and the story of that, and the clear evidence that it was to Moses that he was dealing with a bunch of idolatrous, the Bible says, stiff-necked people. See, Moses was in a situation right then where he needed an exposure to God in his life. He needed to have the presence of God meet him. He needed to have a very real encounter with the Lord. There's a lot of wonderful things in these chapters, but I'm really interested in chapter number 33 and homing in on this Wednesday night on verse number 11. I want you to look at it with me, Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 11, and listen closely to the Scripture. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaking unto his friend." Boy, there's a lot that we could say about that. Does God speak to you as if He is your friend? Do you have enough confidence in that? Are you close enough to the Lord, walking with Him in such a way? That's a great statement, but look further. This is what I really want us to see. Further in the verse, "And he," that is Moses, "turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun," here it is, "a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Now I want you to keep your eyes and your heart on that one verse of Scripture as I speak to you for a little while this Wednesday night on what I am calling an exposure to God. An exposure to God. Now, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, meet with your people today through your word. Speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we have been saved. And Lord, if there be that one that is here this Wednesday night that does not for certain know you as their Savior, draw them, I pray to you. That's why we're here, to get the gospel to this world. And Lord, to worship you in this thy place. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Now, we've all lived our lives being warned about various exposure to certain things, and how that we do not need to have excessive exposure to things, especially high volumes of it. We've been told through the years that we do not need to expose ourselves too much to the sun. Been told through the years that we don't need to expose ourselves to poison ivy. Boy, have I learned that the hard way. They've even tell us these days that you don't need to expose yourself to too much Tylenol. It can affect your kidneys and all of these things. And don't expose yourself to buffets and overeating and those such things. It can be bad for you. We're told not to expose ourselves to loud noises like gunfire or heavy equipment. And did you know that it's even true of vacuum cleaners? The reason I have to lean my head down and listen a little bit closer to people sometimes is because for 15 years, all I did was hear machines like that, floor equipment, that was running. And they say that it's one of the worst things for your ears. Is that? And they say, don't expose yourself to excessive noises like that. And we go on and on. We've been told through the years not to expose ourselves to all of these various different things. Overexposure can hurt us, and that has been pounded into our head in so many ways and from so many people through the years. I fear that there are a lot of people, as a matter of fact, I know for a fact, that there are a lot of people out there who truly believe for themselves and even for younger people, maybe their children or grandchildren or younger people in general, they believe that it is a dangerous thing, it is not a good thing to expose themselves or their children to too much spiritual activity. And we've heard it before, I'm going to keep my children out of church, I'm going to stay out of church, I'm just not going to come, I just don't need all of that in my life. We've heard people discipline their children with grounding them from spiritual things and from church and things of this nature. That is a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. There are people that out there, and they truly do, they believe that you can overexpose people to the things of God, to spiritual places and to the house of God. But I tell you, I would submit this Wednesday night that the problem with America today and the problem with the home today in our nation is because people have not been exposed enough to the very real truth of God. The very real God-honoring, Holy Spirit-controlled and convicting, life-changing move of an almighty God. We're just not being exposed enough to that. And I love what I am seeing right here in this chapter, Exodus 33. It's been on my heart now for a couple of weeks, and I've been developing it in my mind. I love what I'm seeing here because it is dealing, I believe, with what is, as you will know, one of the greatest burdens that I have in my life. And that is the condition of this current generation that we are in, the younger folks and those of us that are living in it. It is the condition of the modern church in 2024 and the circumstances of what I call the dying and in many cases already dead church of that day. And I'm telling you, the only thing that is going to change the American family, the home, what is going to change your life, what is going to change the church, and what is going to change this generation is an exposure to a very real God, a very real move of God. Now, I want to be clear, I'm talking about a real move of God. I'm talking about God sweeping through a place in such a way that people can no longer live the way that they've always lived. They cannot resist the Holy Spirit moving on their heart anymore. They cannot say no to God anymore because God is that real in that moment in their life, and they come running to the foot of the mighty cross. God gets a hold of people and changes their lives. We've heard the stories all through the years of how God has changed lives. And I believe that He can still change lives today. I want to challenge you again to get people here on Sunday morning, people that may not know the Lord, give the Lord an opportunity to radically change their life for time and eternity. And so what I want to do on this Wednesday night is I want you to help me out. And I want you to grab hold of this burden that God has placed on my heart with this very truth of what I'm going to call tonight an exposure to God. And it is my prayer that every man, woman, boy, and girl in here tonight will understand the importance of you having a real encounter with God and exposing yourself to His presence. Now, for us to understand what I'm talking about, we must notice, first of all, that this exposure to God came, first of all, in an early exposure. When we look at the text, an early exposure. Now, look back at verse number 11 and how the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses," I love this, "face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned away," that is Moses, "turned away into the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun," notice the words, "a young man." Now we've heard that name Joshua here of late, haven't we? We preached through the book of Joshua last year and we learned about victory in the life of the child of God. And here is this same Joshua again. This is the same Joshua that God mightily used to take his people home just three or four books a little bit later on. Same Joshua that God used to lead them to victory. Now, I could speculate, but I don't think any of us could know for certain. I could get close probably about exactly how old Joshua is right here. The Bible does not tell us exactly how old that he is, but the Bible does go out of the way to let us know that he is a young man. Now, I believe that is very important. It is something tonight that we need to hold on to, because what we are having and what we are seeing here is an older man. Remember this, in Moses, he's a little bit older. And here we have Joshua, and the Bible is saying that he is a young man. Now, though God did not reveal his plan entirely to Joshua at this point, and it would be decades to come before God would put his mighty hand of leadership upon this servant, Joshua, and use him to lead God's people into the land of promise and into victory, we are learning in this passage of Scripture that it all began with an exposure to God one day there at the tabernacle, one day there at the house of God as a young man. He was a young man when God really began to get a hold of his life. You want to know why we try to reach young people? It's because their hearts are still tender. It's because their hearts have not been corrupted by the things of this world. I was talking to somebody just Sunday about this, Krista, about Ashton, and the answers that he was giving and the conversations that we were having about how they were just so pure. They were just so simple. His mind had not been clogged with a bunch of garbage yet. And that's why we reach them young. Listen to me, Sunday school teachers. I want you to listen to me, young people. I want you to listen to me, leaders of the children, leaders of the teenagers, leaders of the youth choirs and the children's choir, and every other member and ministry leader in this church or member of this church, you have no idea the impact that you are making into these young lives as you are trying to do things to be able to help them get exposed to the things of God. You have no idea the influence that you are having and how God may be just using the small things and the little things to draw them to the Lord, to draw them and understanding that they need God in their life and they need Him at an early age, that the Lord will be able to get a hold of them. And they need Him so much in their life. You see, we may spend our ministry lifetime trying our best and trying to expose younger people to the things of God. And folks, we may try it with 100 young people and 99 out of that 100 may miss it. But there may be one Joshua that is out there that may get it. And I remind you again, the book of Joshua, that glorious sixth book in the Bible, it lets us know that all it takes is one Joshua to turn a nation back to God. All it takes is one Joshua to lead a nation into the land of victory and the land of promise. So though you may not get all 99, if you get Joshua, some things can change. We work on them as younger people, trying to get them exposed to the things of God. Now remember, and don't ever forget this, none of us are perfect people. We've got all kinds of problems, don't we? Every one of us have got issue after issue after issue. But I am thankful that our young people around here through the years have been exposed to a real encounter with God. I'm thankful they've been exposed to something that is not manufactured. It is not something that is built in some program or some type of a big show. I'm thankful that we don't have to sit down and strategize in our morning meetings that we have on Sundays about what we're going to do to try to stir up people's emotion a little bit more here and a little bit more there. We try to have a plan for a service, but at the end of the day, our prayer is that God will move in this place, and then we'll fall in line with whatever God is trying to do. That's what makes the difference. We want people to be exposed to God, exposed to the move of God, exposed to the Spirit of God. And we don't want to have anything in our life, anything in this congregation that is going to hinder a move of God. Before you get out of your car in the parking lot, you ought to make sure that you're right with your wife. You're right with your husband. You're right with your children. You're right with God in your own life. So there will be nothing that will stand in the way of God moving. An exposure to God. I cannot understand for the life of me why we as parents will not be more intentional and yea, even forceful in getting our young people into a place where they will be exposed to God. I just don't understand. And then we question and we wonder and we ask ourselves, why is it that they're going down this path of sin? Why is it that they're going down a road that we all know is going to lead to destruction? Why is it that they are acting this way? Why is it that they are presenting themselves this way? Why is it that they are saying these things? And you can just see that cloud that has come over their face that has now replaced what once was a smile of joy and happiness, because there was a presence of God in their life through the church or through the right kind of people. And I never will be able to understand why we as parents will not be more intentional to make that happen. We've said it many, many times before. Many parents believe that if they force their children to do this, that they're going to lose their children. You need to understand you're going to lose them anyway. You're going to lose them. You better, if you're going to lose them doing what's right. The Word of God applies to your children as much as it applies to you, as much as it applies to me. And you need to get them at a young age in the things of God and in the places of God, a place where they can be exposed to it. Teach them what's right at a young age. We're learning here from Joshua. Do you see it? A young man. And he, as a young man, was exposed to God. I'm sure that many of us here today would give anything if we could go back in time to when we were a young man, a young woman. Maybe somebody just didn't give their life to the Lord until they were older. And you look back and you see all those years that you allowed the world to pollute your mind, to ruin your mind. And there's things that are there now that you'll never be able to get rid of. It's there. You'll never get rid of it. And you would do anything to have had somebody that would have invested in your life and gotten you into the house of God and forced you into that position. You'll never go wrong with your kids by teaching them what's right and making them do what's right. And there are so many of us that would give anything to have had somebody that would have done that. Been able to go back to a 7-year-old Ashton. Been able to go back to a 12-year-old, 13-year-old Caden. Been able to go back to that young child age, that young teenager age before their mind had been corrupted and polluted, and have God get in there. Amen. Having a true, real exposure to the Lord that'll change their life. The Bible is teaching us here that it was an early exposure. The Bible is also teaching us that it was an eager exposure. Remember, after you got saved, how eager you were to know the Lord a little bit more. How eager you were to tell other people about it. Boy, how our hearts grow hard. They get cold so quickly. It just doesn't take much, does it, for us to drift away. The eagerness, the fire that once burned within us is really no longer there. We've gotten away from the things of God, but when we look at our text and we look at our story once more, we are finding Joshua here not only being exposed to the Lord at an early age, but it was an eager exposure. And you look back in verse number 11, and the Bible says, and he again, that is Moses, he turned again into the camp, but the servant, his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, here it is, departed not out of the temple. He departed not out of the house of God. You see, when you read the previous verses and the context of them, what you are going to realize is that this young man, Joshua, had seen God do something in Moses' life. He had been close to an exposure of God in somebody else's life. And it was so real to him. He was eager for a little bit more. Amen. He wanted God to move, not only again in Moses' life, but he wanted God to move in his very own life. And old Joshua right here, he is saying, I sense that God is about to do something special. I sense that something is about to happen in the house of God that I want to be exposed to. He was saying, video games can wait. I need God. My chores and my job can wait. I need God. Dinner can wait. I need God. The Georgia Bulldogs can wait. I need God. The Atlanta Braves can wait. I need God. Little League Baseball can wait. I need God. I just saw God do something that I never imagined before. And here I am, a young man, and I'm eager to see God do it again. We're seeing Joshua. He's not eager to go down to the bar right here. He's not eager to go up and running up and down the streets. He's not eager to go share a bed with somebody that he doesn't know. He's eager to have God move in his life. He's eager to stay right here in the tabernacle. He says, I've seen God do something in Moses' life, and I'm going to stay right here because if God did it here with somebody else, God may be able to do it right here with me as well, and I'm eager for it. I want it with all of my heart. Some say that younger people today, younger folks today, they don't want or they don't have any interest even in some form of interaction with God. They just don't want God. And I think we would all agree that to a certain degree, that is probably true. But listen to me, folks. When these younger people have an interaction with God, when they have an encounter with God, when they have an exposure to God at that very young age, and it's real, and they pursue it in their life, we have it upon the promise of God that they're not going to depart from it. You want to know why so many are departing from it? So many. We can't speak for everybody. It's because what they think was an exposure to God really wasn't an exposure to God. It was based in a whole bunch of other stuff. It was based in emotion. It was based in what everybody else was doing. It was based on the trend or the fad that was going on in that time. And it was not based in Holy Spirit conviction coming upon their life and radically and completely changing their world. When God steps in and exposes himself, as we'll see in a moment, in his glory, then God puts something down in their hearts that'll never be able to get away from them. And they'll have a hunger for a little bit more. And even if they drift away from the things of God, and so many of us have and do, don't we? There'll always be some burning there. There'll always be something that says, I need to get back to God. I need to get back to the house of God. I need to get back to the days where I saw God move in Moses' life. And I was eager and I was hungry and I was thirsty and I was longing and I was desiring that God would do it in my life. And I wasn't willing to leave the house of God. When we study this passage of Scripture, it would appear that Joshua, listen to me, church, Joshua could have left. When Moses turned away and he went out into the camp to take care of whatever business that he needed to take care of, Joshua could have left. But he eagerly chose to stay right there in the place where he saw God last move, where he was exposed to a manifestation of the presence and the power of Almighty God in his life. And he chose to stay in a place saying, if God did it once, God can do it again. Even if Moses is gone, could God still visit me? Could God still do something in and through my life the way that he did it through Moses? You do know that God uses young people, don't you? Don't despise your youth, he says. God uses young people. I will never forget many, many years ago, I was flipping through the channels, and I'm talking, we probably weren't even married. That's how long ago this has been. And I've never watched, not one time intentionally, watch the Oprah Winfrey Show. Amen. Never have. Never had an interest in it. Maybe you have, whatever. But I remember I was flipping through the channels, and there was a family, mom and dad and a son. The boy was 5 years old, and they were sitting on the couch, and Oprah was interviewing this family. And it looked interesting to me because they were dressed in suits, and I noticed that the boy had a Bible on his lap. And so I stopped, and I wanted to see what it was. And Oprah Winfrey was interviewing, I believe it was Oprah, one of them talk shows, but I believe it was Oprah. She was interviewing this family because this boy was a preacher, a street preacher. And he would preach out on the street, different from the one that we've seen, I guess, in Fort Oglethorpe. But he was a street preacher. And Oprah asked the question, well, what is it exactly that you preach? The boy said, I just preach the Bible. And Oprah said, would you preach a sermon for us right now? And the boy said, sure. And he stood up and he took his Bible and he opened it to John 3:16. And he read John 3:16. And for about 60 seconds, the boy tore it up on national television. Preaching John 3:16. I don't know how God used that, but what I can tell you is Oprah Winfrey had one of the largest followings and audience in the country, and they heard the gospel that day because a little five-year-old boy, I know nothing about what his theology was. I know nothing about what his upbringing were. I don't know anything about the lifestyle that his parents lived, but I do know there's power in the Word of God, and God used a little five-year-old boy to touch the nation. That day, God uses younger people. Now, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I try my best. I go out of my way to see to it that younger people have a place to serve God right here. I'm not afraid to give younger people a little bit of responsibility. And I'm also not afraid to let you know that we need to submit to that leadership when they are given a place of responsibility. We need to fall in with what God is doing in their life and the vision that they are given, being at a banquet, being at a Christmas program, or whatever it might be. If we are giving them that opportunity, we need to trust them and we need to monitor it and we need to let God use their life. But we need to be careful to always, always, always give them that opportunity. I try my best to do that. Why? Because it is my prayer that God will use it to stoke a fire within them that God will take in them and allow them to have for the rest of the days of their life. And I want them to know that they have a place and they have a purpose for their life to be used for the Lord right here. Let's just get straight real quick, can we? In our day today, most churches, the average church today in America is made up of older people. Wouldn't you agree with that? That's the case. I thank God that that's not the case here, but all of you are young. Doesn't matter how old you are. All of you are young, okay? But in the average church, it's made up of older people. I think you'd agree with that. And it's not hard for us to see and understand why that the church is dying. Because naturally, we're all going to eventually pass off the scene. Are you still with me? Say amen. That's one problem, but let me tell you another problem. Many folks that are older have by their own choice backed away from the service of God. They've backed away from it. Not because they can't do it anymore, but because we choose not to do it anymore. And here's the problem. Then we complain about the way that the younger people come in and are trying to do it of what they had all abandoned. They're going to do it different. They're in a different generation. They're operating in a different world. They're going to do it different. Now listen to me, we never need to get into turf wars between the older and the younger in the modern church today, in our Baptist churches today, in our independent Baptist churches today. Here's why. Because when the older are faithful, when the older are eager, when the older have a passion that is stirring within their soul and is burning within their heart to expose that to the younger, and when the younger are willing to allow the older to take them under their wing and expose them to the things of God, to that same passion, that same burden that they have got, you're going to find an older crowd and you're going to find a younger crowd that both together get eager to do something for God. And though the older crowd may not be able to do what they once could do, what they're doing is they are exposing that younger crowd to be able to carry the torch and pass the mantle on to the next generation. But what we are finding is you and I, as we get older, we're backing away. And then we talk out of both sides of our mouths because we complain about the way the younger generation is doing it when we ourselves abandoned it. Abandoned it. My heart is so burdened for the state of the church today. It's constant that I'm hearing more that are closing their doors. And I'm hearing more that are quickly on their way there. They're just dying today. Something is not working. Something is not right. There is a lack of an exposure to God from the older to the younger. We're missing it on both sides. If younger people are to be eager, then we have got to show them as older people that serving God is worth it. It's worth your time. It's worth your money. It's worth your energy. Serving God is worth it. Amen. And then we've got to give them an opportunity to invest and instruct them in a way that they will excel in it. Moses was unwilling to let Joshua, the younger man, just go. Moses served God until the day that God said, "Come on with me." He was faithful to the Lord. That's how I want to go out of this world. I want to go out of this world wide open for the Lord. In whatever season and stage He allows me to have and opportunities that He has, I want to go out wide open. I want to pass the torch to you while I'm walking out the door. I want to pass it to you and to you and to you. I want to pass it on to the next one as I'm going out the door and somebody else can pick up the mantle and go right along. That was Moses' plan with Joshua, and we studied all that. He had an exposure to God. It was an early exposure. It turned out to be an eager exposure. Thirdly and finally, it was an effective exposure. It was an effective exposure. Now, if we took the time to study the remainder of chapter 33, and if you've never read that, I want to encourage you to go read it. Spend some time studying the rest of chapter number 33 in the book of Exodus. But we would see how that the glory of God, it met Moses. Moses came in contact with the very real glory of God. Why? Because Moses asked for it. He asked for it. Ye have not because ye ask not. Why is God not doing more in your life? Why is God not doing more in your family? Why is God not doing more in your little circle of the world? Are you asking Him for it? Moses, even at the age that he was, the stage of life that he was in, he still was eager to be exposed to the glory of God. And so we notice in the 18th verse of the 33rd chapter that he says, "Show me thy glory." When's the last time you just fell on your knees and said, "Dear God, I'm tired of my stale life. I'm tired of my cold, complacent attitude. I'm tired of where I'm at. I can remember a day when I burned white hot for you more than I do right now. Lord, I don't like where I'm at. I've lost my shout. I've lost my joy. I've lost the glory that I once experienced with you. I'm sorry for how I failed you. Oh God, show me your glory. Let me see you move one more time." Just one more time. "Expose me to your glory." I believe it's the 22nd verse if you looked at it further. I believe that it's there that God answered his request because God let him see the glory in the cleft of the rock. The glory of God passed by. And I'm telling you that when Moses saw the glory of God, even the back part of it, the Bible says, when Moses saw the glory of God, it changed everything for Moses. It's what God used to get him the rest of the way, all the way to the banks of the Jordan River. Now follow me. The older man was eager to have the glory, and he proved it through how that he finished his race, through his service to God, and as a direct result of the older man wanting the glory and the older man wanting to be exposed to God, as a direct result of that, the younger man got eager for it. Because we as the older guys are fading off spiritually. And I'm talking about spiritually, not necessarily in age, but spiritually, and we're dropping off. The younger guys are not eager anymore. When's the last time outside of this church that you saw a young man that had a fire within him to preach the Word of God outside of this church? I think we've got some here. It's just, you're just not finding it much anymore. Why? Just don't see the fire in us older ones. Us older ones have just gotten so used to the complacency and the routine exposure to God that it's just part of life now. And if you're honest, you know you're guilty. You know I'm guilty. We're not exposing ourselves to the glory of God anymore. In our text, as the decades continued to pass, Moses was intentional. Listen to me. Moses, the older man, was intentional to keep Joshua, the younger man, in a place and in a position to have an exposure to God. And old Joshua, he remained eager to have the same. And then he poured that into the rest of his life. And he proved that his exposure to God, he wanted it, and he proved that it was real through the courage that he showed, through the commitment that he showed, the enthusiasm, the endurance, and his faithful service to the Lord. Will you let me take you one more time back to the book of Joshua again? When we go back to the book of Joshua and we go again to chapter number 11 and verse 15, I know you'll recognize this verse. But here we are, some nearly half century later, from the day Joshua as a young man got exposed to God and Moses stuck with him. He saw something in him that was worth his time. He saw something in it that was worth his energy. Something in him that God was going to take and God was going to use. When's the last time you saw somebody? Have you ever seen somebody? That individual, they've got something for God. Oh, they don't have all them boxes checked. They don't have everything figured out, but they've got something for God. There's something special about them. God, give us some more Joshuas today that you can see it in their eyes. You can sense it in their activity. They're eager to serve God. They're young and they want to do something for God. And may God help every one of us to take them under our wing. It was effective in Joshua's case with Moses, as he said in the 11th chapter of Joshua in the 15th verse, "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua." And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Do you see what's actually happening here? It is here that we are seeing spiritual teamwork. It is an older man and it is a younger man, and they are working together. They're not pushing one another apart. There isn't envy. There isn't jealousy. There isn't a dislike for this one or a dislike for that one, or the way this is going or the way that is going. No, they were on the same page. They were going the same direction. Why? Because they were both eager just to get God. They had seen the same God in the tabernacle. They understood what God was. They understood what the ultimate goal was. And they were on the same page. They were moving forward to keep things going for God, to get all the other people exposed to the Lord, and to accomplish His ultimate plan for their age. God used old Joshua, as He has used few others throughout history. And he was effective in what he did for the Lord, and he accomplished what God placed him on this earth to do. My heart trembles. when I think about everything I have not accomplished for the Lord. When I think about the days that I've wasted, when I could have done more. When I think about the time that I had more energy and I could have done more. The time perhaps when I had more drive about me and I could have done more. Joshua saw God's call on his life because he was exposed to God at a young age. God put his hand on this boy, Joshua. Even after Moses was gone, Moses taught him. Look at the verse again. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. So did Moses teach Joshua. This is what God's told me to do. I'm not going to be able to finish it. I need you to pick up the mantle. And I need you to carry it on. I need you to press on. And Joshua did everything that Moses couldn't do. And then as we studied, Joshua picked it up and went on with his own vision from that point on. And ran his own trail and blazed it for the Lord. Joshua is a very real example of how exposing a young person to God. And I'm talking about the very real things of God will make them eager to stay faithful to it and to want more of it and to be effective in it. Come on, Mickey, you can come on to the piano. What are you doing to help expose your children, your grandchildren, maybe church young people, those here, or maybe just this generation outside of the walls of the church? What are you doing to really expose them to the things of God? Now, I want all of you to look at me and listen to me right now and listen closely. Would you do that, please? I want us to get this in our heart tonight. Can you put your finger? Would you please think, search your heart, as the psalmist said, search me, O God. Let God search you right now. Will you do that? Can you honestly put your finger on one spiritual thing that you have taught them that has stuck? Something that you have taught them that not only has stuck, but they are still carrying it on, and they are eager to carry it on, and you're watching them be effective in it. Can you look at your kids now and see, I taught you that. It stuck with you. Praise be to God. And they're carrying it on and they're being effective for the Lord. Can you put your finger on one thing? Are your kids serving God today? Are all these young people around here, are they going to have a future because you, as an older man or a woman, whatever age you may be, because you are intentional to not only expose them to the things of God, but to keep them there. Moses never let Joshua get far out of his reach. He kept him in a place and a position to expose him to God. Folks, listen, I know that we are seeing in these younger generations the things that are frustrating to us. And I'll go further even and say right here, so much of what we are even seeing in the church scene today across our nation is in violation to the Word of God. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. They're doing things because of culture, and it is not biblical. It is not scriptural, the things that they are doing. Here's the problem. They don't know any better. They don't know any better. The exposure that they are thinking they are having with God, it is a manufactured exposure. It's a one generation church. It's not going to be there for the next generation because it is not real. It's not real. But they don't know any better. And that's because somewhere along the line, there was an older man or an older woman of God dropped the ball. Didn't teach him a true exposure to God. I'm not talking about your personality. I'm not talking about, don't turn them into what you want them to be, little wooden Indians. You turn them into what God wants them to be. What God wants them to be. Somewhere along the line, somebody dropped the ball. But just because somebody dropped the ball, it does not mean that we can give up on them. I'll be very frank with you if you allow me to. Sometimes I just feel like giving up. Don't you? We all do. We get so frustrated with the whole mess that we just feel like giving up. But it is passages just like this in the scripture that I study in my life that causes me to want to press on. Because things would have been far different in history. Things would have been far different with the people of God had an older Moses given up on a younger Joshua. And maybe on this Wednesday night, you just want to join me and you want to get out of your seat and you want to fall down in this altar and you want to say, "Dear God, help me, please, to start and to be faithful in exposing not just my children, but the children within my sphere, within my world, the younger people within my world to the true, very real things of God." And make a commitment to Him that from this day forward, I'm going to get up, I'm going to walk out of this building, and I am going to go reclaim this generation, and I'm going to reach this generation for the Lord. But before you'll ever do it, you're going to have to heat up your heart. You're going to have to expose yourself to not what you want, but to what God wants. A very real manifestation of God. Bow your heads with me one moment. Would you do that, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm just going to pray for us all tonight.